Welcome to our podcast this week. God bless you for being here with us. I'm so glad that you could join us. I'm Pastor Danny. This is my wife, Julie, and my son, Benji. We've got a couple others in the room that you can't see that are on the other side helping to, some are helping to make the podcast go. Some are just sitting here listening to the podcast. But we have a room full of people in here today, and we're excited to talk about the things of the Lord. And I hope that you're ready to increase your faith, that you're ready to increase your passion for the things of God, because we are here to talk about remnant things. That's what we're about, remnant, because it is the remnant that God has always worked through, and it is the remnant that's going to bring Jesus back. So I guess, like always, we'll just start and jump right into it. But it was on my heart as we came in here today, just to talk about, to remind us about how the enemy works. Most of the time, we would rather, we want to talk about how our God does things. That's how we want to talk and what we want to focus on. Every so often, though, we do need to be reminded, because the Bible reminds us about how the enemy wants to infiltrate, and how the enemy wants to do things against God's people. Let me just start by saying this, and I hope I say this unequivocally, there are no conditions to this. The devil wants to do anything, he wants to use anything, and he will use anything he can to get to God's people, to try to throw them off course. He will do whatever he can to hurt you, to maim you, to destroy you, both physically, mentally, spiritually, and in every way possible. And if you do not understand the position the enemy is in against God's people, if you do not understand that he is the accuser, he is the opposer, he is the one that comes against God's people, and he will do, Jesus said it like this, the thief comes to kill,
right,
to steal, and to destroy. Pretty much everything falls under those three things. He has come to kill, and to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. That scripture there is so much the basis of everything that we do. If you don't understand those two things, then you're going to be lost as a child of God. I've spoken a whole lot about recently about, you know, I'm not the one, and I certainly don't want to be the one to be casting people into hell, but I do know what the Bible says, and I do know that the Bible says that many are called, few are chosen. I do know that the Bible says, talking about the narrow way that Christ talked about, he said, there are few who find it. I do know that these things are all true. I do know that is scriptural. And so I want to do whatever I can as a man of God to try to help people stave off the works of darkness so that they can be a part of the chosen, so that they can be a part of the few. You know, I know people don't like to talk about it. As soon as you start talking those kind of terms, people don't like to hear it. But just because you don't like to hear it doesn't mean that it's not happening, and it doesn't mean it's not true. So I'm going to have you read a scripture to us that I told you just a couple of minutes ago. But let me start with this. Let me start with this story. There was a family at the beginning of time. Adam and Eve had a family. And one of those people this was a family that was a part of God's plan. They were the people in the Garden of Eden that God was going to use. I think we all can pretty much agree.
Right.
And yes, that's who God was using. But the Bible talks about one of those people by the name of Cain. Now, there's a lot I've preached about Cain over the years that I'm not going to get into now. I just want to focus on one little part. God came to Cain and he said, Cain, your countenance has fallen. Literally, your face has fallen. And that's what happens to so many of God's people. Their countenance, it falls, and they're no longer passionately running after what they know is holiness before the Lord. And God came to Cain. He said, Cain, I can see your countenance has fallen. You're not the same way that you were. But this is the verse, the key verse. He said, the enemy is lying or sitting at the door. And it says, its desire is for you. And the picture that if you study this, the picture is of some sort of an animal, a creature, literally sitting at the door waiting for Cain to walk out so that he can just jump on him and devour Cain. He said he's sitting at the door, and he says, and his desire is for you. But then God said, but you should rule over it.
Yes.
I've given you everything you need to rule over this. You should be able to do it if you walk with me. And really, it wasn't in the Word of God, it wasn't until we get to Noah. And I talked about Noah last week. It wasn't until we get to Noah that God found somebody that really, really would walk with him the way that he wanted to. And because of that, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. But getting back to Cain, it says this animal, this creature, this demonic force is sitting there, and he's waiting to jump on you, Cain. Now, I want to tell you that demonic creature that we're talking about in the Word of God, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's still sitting there waiting to jump on God's people. It's still sitting there, and its desire is for you. And I'm not saying that to bring fear to you. I'm saying that because the same thing God said then is still true. He said, you should rule over it.
Right.
You should rule over it. But if you don't know that the devil, his desire is for you, his desire is to destroy you, his every thing that he wants to do is to destroy and kill still and come against you, then you're fooling yourself, and you're asking for trouble in your life. And you have to be, again, I'm going to have her read a scripture in just a moment. It's just one scripture, though. There are so many scriptures throughout the Word of God.
Yes.
Actually, I start thinking about it, and I start opening up the Word of God. It actually became too much for me. There's too many scriptures to sit here and talk about where it talks over and over again about being vigilant and being watchful and being aware and how you're supposed to live and putting on the armor and all the different things that talks about so that the enemy cannot come against you. It's over and over and over and over and over again throughout the Word of God, because all the writers knew that the enemy wants to destroy you. And so people are not ministers, so-called ministers, are not doing their job today to let people know what the enemy wants to do with you. And he wants to steal you, and he wants to take your life. He wants to take your eternity. He wants you to end up in the pits of hell.
And real quick, before she reads, maybe at some point you did rule over it, and maybe at some point God showed mercy to you, but that doesn't mean the devil's not going to try again.
Very good point.
And he'll take as long as it needs to for him.
Well, I always say that the devil plays the long game. He doesn't mind playing the long game. We think in terms of seconds and minutes. The devil thinks in terms of decades. He'll start something when someone is just a child with the intention of, by the time that person is 50, 60, 70 years old, he's, my plan's working now. That's the way you have to think about how the devil works. in your life, in your children's lives. Right. That's the way right. you have to
be
you
vigilant.
You have to be vigilant against the works of darkness. Go ahead and read this particular scripture. Go ahead. And
do you want me to start a little bit
earlier? Yes, that's what I was going to say. Start a little bit earlier.
We were thinking the same thing. Likewise, this is 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble.
Now, let me just stop for a second, and I've been saying this a lot recently, that it says God resists. That word literally means opposes. God opposes the proud, meaning those people that think they know, but they don't know, but they're going to do it their way. They're going to do it their way. And God, and they're going to serve God on their terms. They're not seeking out the anointing. They're not seeking out the prophetic. They're not seeking out the chosen few. They're not seeking that out. They're going to do it their way. The Bible says, and I use this almost every week, but it's so true. It says they all run to their own houses. They worship God their way at their own houses. And that's not biblical or godly, and that's what God's talking about. He says, you proud, I'm going to oppose you. I think it might be Haggai. I could be wrong, but there's a scripture there. It talks about God says, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. He said, so I literally cut holes in your pockets so your money would fall out. Good things would come to you and I would blow it away because you didn't put my house first. You didn't put my anointing first. And God literally opposed them because they were proud. It says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, to the surrendered. Keep reading.
Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Yeah, keep reading. Keep going.
Be sober. Be vigilant.
Listen.
Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Okay, you're going to have to read that again, but listen to what she said. Be sober. That literally means, in the Greek language, it means to have self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that literally is talking about. Now, we think of sober as meaning, you know, not being all drunk and drugged up. And that certainly
fits. Definitely a part of it.
But the idea, when it says be sober, it means to have self-control. That's what that means. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because who? Your adversary.
Yes.
The devil is against you. Mm-hmm. And he's not passively against you. He's actively against you. He is against you in every second of the day. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to take your children. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your soul. He wants everything about your life to be against God, and he will do anything. He will use anyone. He will do whatever he has to do. And let me speak a word of warning to people that are Christians, and wherever your walk is with the Lord, that if there are people in your life, which I'm certain there are, probably most of them, that are not serving God the way you serve God, that means they're under the control of the enemy. And if they're under the control of the enemy, that means the devil can use them to get to you.
Right.
If you let him. Mm. If you let him, he will use your children that aren't serving God. He will use your husband. He will use your wife. He will use your mother. He will use your father. He will use your friends. He will use your coworkers. He will use everyone. And that is why the Bible says over and over and over again. Again, I think this was maybe the podcast last week. He said, come out from amongst them. He said, come out. Don't even be with them anymore. He said, come out. Because the only way to keep the devil from using those people against you is to come out from amongst them. Mm. And if you're going to minister to somebody, go minister to them. Don't go minister to somebody and sit there and be buddy-buddy with them. Don't minister to somebody and connect your lives. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together. Yeah. That's not just talking about husbands and wives.
Right.
That's talking about everybody. Do not be unequally yoked.
Don't because the devil
will use them against you. He will use them to wear you down because he's an adversary.
And he will make them disguise it with scripture sometimes. The devil knows scripture.
That's the thing. I'm not, again, that brings this up. I'm not just talking about people that sit there and say, I hate God. I don't serve God. I'm not talking about that. It very well might be people that know scripture better than you do. It very well might be people that listen to Christian music more than you do. But those things doesn't mean that they please God. And again, I don't have time for that today. I talk about that every week. You can go back and listen to all the podcasts if you want to. But the devil will use these people, these non-remnant people. They're not walking in the spirit of Elijah. They're not sitting in the cave saying, God, I'm doing miracles and no one's listening. They're not those people. And God will use them to bring you, the devil will use them to bring you down. And you have to be aware. So start again. We're talking about being sober. Read that again.
All right, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Again, you think about a lion. You wouldn't dare go into the savannas of Africa and sit there and say, oh, look at that beautiful lion. Oh, it seems to be roaring. Oh, it seems to be coming closer. Oh, why does his teeth, coming after me? Oh, I'm just going to let this lion bite my arm off. You wouldn't do that. But that's the example that it's giving. The devil wants to destroy you. He is your adversary. And an adversary cannot be passively taken care of. You have to actively stand against. Isn't that what talks about the armor of Christ? And then it says, therefore stand. And this is the position. It literally means to stand ready to go and say, devil, I see you and I'm coming after you. Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
It says in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world.
Again, resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Resist him. You can't sit there and hope he goes away. He's not going to go away. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to take everything from you. And again, most people never understand this. And that is why the Bible says many are called, few are chosen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people. Jesus gave the parable of the sower. He said, there are those people. They receive. Oh, I just received the word of God. I got it. I got the seed. But it says as soon as the sun comes up, it's gone. You see, there's a lot of people we all know that are just like that. They receive the word, but it gets hot and it's gone. Many are called, few are chosen. But then it says something interesting. It talks about suffering. It talks about suffering. And go ahead and finish that whole, go ahead and finish that scripture there so we could talk about that a little bit.
Yes, we just finished saying, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you.
Now, let's get into that for just a moment. First of all, he equates what the enemy, you see, he's talking about what the devil does to people. Those are the sufferings he's talking. He's talking, this is what the enemy does to those people who are trying to serve God. This is how the enemy, the adversary, attacks you. This is what he does. And there are those, listen, we cannot, I get up here and I preach week after week after week that God wants you healthy. He wants you blessed. He wants you protected. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants to heal all your diseases. That's what the Bible says. I will never stop saying that. But you cannot deny that the enemy comes against you. And while you are in that place of growing up in the Lord, God allows things. He allows them so that we can become
overcomers.
The remnant. The remnant are, that's just talking about the same thing.
Right.
So that we can be the remnant. But the devil counts on God's people not being overcomers, but on being overcome. They get overcome with sickness. Mm-hmm. They get overcome with debt. They get overcome with doubt. They get overcome with discouragement. They get overcome with depression. And eventually the devil gets you. Eventually they're not found at God's house anymore. Eventually they're having their own studies their own way. And then eventually it doesn't even matter. Well, I've given my heart to the Lord. That's all that matters. That's like, all that matters.
It's like they've given up or their countenance has fallen.
And because... Right. Here's God's plan. He allows the sufferings to take place while we're climbing the mountain. Some of you will remember, I talk a lot about climbing the mountain in the Remnant book that I wrote. A lot about what it means that everyone that ever got to God had to climb the mountain. They all had to climb the mountain. Even Jesus climbed the mountain. Mm-hmm. You have to climb the mountain, and God allows things while you're climbing the mountain so that you can be holy when you get to the top of the mountain. But what does it read what it says, the reason why God allows the sufferings. Read that.
After you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you.
Now, I did a message on that many months ago, and I don't remember everything that I said. But let's just take it at its face value right now. God wants to perfect you. Mm-hmm. He wants to perfect you. You say, well, I thought I was perfected at salvation. I don't know who told you that. I'm guessing it was probably a seeker-friendly minister. That's what I call them. That's what I'm guessing. No, you were given a new heart and made a new creation so that you can then start the process of being perfected.
Salvation positions you.
That's it.
Positions you.
That's it. And that's been one of the fatal flaws in the church of the last 100 years, that no one's teaching that anymore. It says perfect you. What's the second one?
Establish.
You see, over and over again, even I think in what we just read, the Bible talks the importance of being steadfast, of being consistent, of having your feet planted in such a way so that you cannot be moved. And the devil knows that when you give your heart to the Lord, that you're still in that place of, well, you're not established though. And that's why Jesus, in that parable of the sower, he said, there's some that receive the word. But as soon as it gets hot, as soon as tribulation, because I believe is what he said, it says, it's gone. It burns up, it's gone. Why? Because they're not established. Their roots are not established yet. What's the third one it says?
Strengthen.
Again, I could take that in so many different directions, but let's just talk about it at face value. God does want you healthy. He wants your body strengthened. He wants your mind set free. He wants your spirit filled with his spirit. Amen. He wants to strengthen every part of your being. But again, the devil knows that that doesn't happen because you believe John 3:16. It happens because you say, I'm not just going to live in the spirit. I'm going to walk in the spirit. Right. Galatians 5:25. Amen. What was the fourth one?
And settle you.
Boy, you know, there's something about getting to that place in your walk with the Lord, where you're just settled, where God can look at you and he can say, I trust that person. That's what happened with Abraham. Abraham got to the place with God where God said, I'm not going to hide anything from Abraham because I know him. That's what the word said. It says, I know him. Mm-hmm. And it's another way of saying, I trust him because I know Abraham. He's been settled. He's settled in his covenant. He's settled in his walk with me. I can trust him. And so many people have a desire to know God more. But they don't understand that it says the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning starts with the fear of the Lord. You can't be settled in God until you have that fear of God so inside of you that God can look at you and say, they'll never walk away from me. They'll never walk away. They've got the fear of the Lord inside of them. They'll never move away from me. And it's not that God wants us walking around being scared, but you have to have that fear of the Lord before you're settled. And was there any more? Was that the rest of the scripture?
That's it.
I want to make sure we finished it. I hope you're hearing the word of God today. The Apostle Peter was teaching that the devil wanted them. The adversary wanted them. But he was also giving them a plan, and he was giving them hope. He was saying to them, this is God's plan. You have to resist. You have to stand against. You have to submit. You have to surrender. God gives grace to the humble. There are those people that say, I've heard it, and I'm sure Peter must have heard it. He said, boy, sometimes it feels like God himself is fighting against me. But it literally says here, God opposes. He opposes the proud. So I would not be doubting if you're feeling like God is against you, that God is against you. You say, but Pastor, no one's ever told me that before. Well, you're hearing it now. God might very literally be working against you. Why? So that you are brought back to where he wants you to be. Because God knows if the adversary has any say in your life, it's going to be destroyed. You're going to be killed, stolen from, and destroyed. He knows that. But you have to be humble before the Lord, surrendered. You have to resist the enemy. You have to know that when there are these sufferings, as Peter talked about it, that it's so that God can perfect you, so that God can establish you, so that God can settle you. It's for your benefit as you climb the mountain. I don't know. Do you want to say anything else before
you covered?
Praise God.
Just remember that it's what's God's plan of benefit for you. He said, use the word benefit. It will benefit you, not your idea of being benefited, God's idea of being benefited. You got to remember how much higher God's way of thinking is than yours. I like to take the time to remind us of that as often as I can. We got to remember that. Yeah,
it's about very good. Well, again, it is God's plan, and I desperately tell my family, and I try to tell everyone that understands that as long as you have a will, then you've not gotten there yet. As long as you have a will, then you're not doing what we're talking about. Your will has to be broken, and it has to be destroyed. It has to be gone. You have to get to that place like Jesus that you say, not my will, your will be done.
Yes.
Not mine, yours. Well, praise the Lord. Benji, close us out with everything.
All right. Every week we've got our regular Sunday morning 11 a.m. services, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Those are available in person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville. You can also catch those on our online social platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, City on a Hill Church, Coa Church. We got online functions coming out every day of the week. Devotions come out every Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. online on our online platforms. Remnant 101 with me comes out on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. Call in the Remnant podcast come out every Friday at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. Those podcasts are also available on Spotify, wherever else you can get your podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play those podcasts for you. And please come join us.
Be here Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We have communion every Sunday at 11. I'm excited to be for what God's going to do this Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, as we close, we came in here and I said to everybody, I said, I've got a scripture in my heart. I said, I don't know if we could talk about it more in a few minutes, but I really feel like there's the scripture we need to go with, even if we just go a few minutes. Just a second ago, Nat, who's sitting behind the computer and screens and all that stuff on the other side, he's giving me the wrap-up sign. So evidently, we had more to talk about than we thought we were, or at least that I thought we did. That seems to be the way it always is. And I hope that you've not only enjoyed it, I hope that you are excited about living out the Word of God as God's remnant people. Yes. God bless you.